I just want to clarify one point, which I mentioned yesterday to emerge, which I think is very important when we discuss the Gzeirah Shrikas HaMoni. I think it's a very crucial and very important point, and I might not have said it clearly enough yesterday. There is Gzeirah Shrikas HaMoni. We have to understand that the Gzeirah Shrikas HaMoni includes any medical thing that we do. Is also al tzigzer of shrikas hamonim. Anything that we do for medical reason is also al shrikas hamonim. Even if it's not actually this particular action might not have a chashash of that I'm going to end up actually doing meleches tchina. Even if a particular thing that I'm going to do over here hasn't got a chashash that I'm actually going to end up grinding, nevertheless it's included in the gzeirah shrikas hamonim. Essentially, right? There is lots of yotzim naklal and lots of cases when we're going to be mekel and etc. But just as to mention the point that physiotherapy really should be also as gzeirah shrikas hamonim. I'm going to find later that this might be a kula. Even somebody jogs for medical reason as opposed to just for leisure, it might be included in the gzeirah shrikas hamonim. But we're going to find there's lots of colors and lots of ways out. But essentially, all these things are also including Gzeirah Shrikas HaMoni, because Chazal asks us everything which is a refuah. We're going to speak about all those cases later. I just want to throw this as it were, at the beginning, that we should understand that these things are also a problem of refuah. Right. Right, massage is definitely could be a shaila. Definitely, very, very much so. We're going to speak about most of these things that we just mentioned now are seifim later on. I just want to have mentioned already at this point. Right, okay, let's get started with Seif Gimel. Another important point which I just wanted to mention briefly is also the point of somebody had to do Chilul Shabbos. It's just actually a Hashlama to Seif Beis. What's the deal of somebody had to do Chilul Shabbos? Does he have to, next time he has a tainus, does he have to include any Zalchit or Slach Lona? Because the Maisi was a Chilul Shabbos. Somebody was a Tzola member and he had to do Michal Shabbos. Does he have to do some sort of, certainly has to do it, right? We spoke about he has to do it, but does he still need to do ask for tshuva or mechila for such an action or not? The answer is, Rav Shlomo Zalman says, definitely, definitely not. It's actually a mitzvah, and there's absolutely no one shouldn't actually do tshuva for such a thing, because it was mamash a mitzvah. That's what Rav Shlomo Zalman says, and it's mukhach in the sugi as well. Okay, Seif Gimel. Kol makah shel chalal, every wound which is shel chalal, chalal literally means of a hole, but what it really means is internal wound. Everything which is an internal wound, dehainu, me'ashnayim belifnim. In other words, anything which is from the teeth, velifnim, inwards, veshinayim atzmon bichlal, and it includes the teeth as well. All these things are considered makashal chalal, internal as it was wound. Mechalun es Shabbos, for all those things you're not to mechal Shabbos. Vedavke, however, this is only shiniskalkal echad meivorim apnimim, if it was properly wounded. Machmas makor, if there's a makor, oibua, or a growth. Vechiyotzebaz, or anything on those lines. Aval mechushim enikri makor, however, if there's only a slight unwellness, a slight issue, then you're not to mechal Shabbos for that. Hagor, says the Ramo, miyu, however, mishachosh bishinov, if somebody has got a toothache, umitztair olov leotzioi, and it pains him, it hurts him to take it out, oimal ein Yehudi leotzioi, is allowed to tell a goy to take this tooth out. We're going to speak about that in the Mishneh Berurah a little bit clearer. Says the Mishneh Berurah, Seif Katan Zayin, Mei Hashinayim, Kol Shkin, Im Cholo, Mokom Moshe Vashinayim, Dehainu Achanichayim, Bevadu Hem Bichlal, Makosh Besoy Chalal Aguf. Basically, what the Mishneh Berurah says from the Mechaber is we have to understand very clearly that everything which is internal is actually more likely to be a shayla pikuach nefesh. And the reason for that is very simple. I'm sure that Moshe will agree, because you see clearly what goes, you can see what goes on the external part of a body. However, the internal part of a body, whenever there's something, we can feel something, we have a pain or somebody has pain, it's much more likely to be a pikuach nefesh, because we don't exactly know what happens, and therefore it's more likely to be a pikuach nefesh, and therefore, since a pikuach nefesh, you are allowed to mechal Shabbos for that. So that's what the Mechaber and Mishneh Berurah mean. Veshinayim atzmom, in the teeth themselves, dehainu, heiche de koiv leiv tuve, dehainu, it only refers, heiche de koiv leiv tuve, when the teeth are in extreme pain, the cholokol guf on it is there, and this whole body is unwell because of that, avshloi nofal lemishkav, even if it doesn't actually lie down, nevertheless, he's allowed to be chal Shabbos for that. It does exclude slight pain in the teeth. You know, you have a little bit of toothache. This is obviously not a chil Shabbos. You're not allowed to be chal Shabbos for that. We're going to speak about that later with Shem in Sif Lamed Beis. I'm going to just finish the Sif Kotna. I'm going to want to add a point to that in Mitzvah Shem. For Kolshkein and Kalvachoyma Machlas Tzefidna, there was something more discussed, something called the Tzefidna. Tzefidna is an illness which we don't have nowadays anymore. The Mishnah Berurah explains what it is. There's something, illness, which starts in the mouth and it continues all the way to the internal parts of a body. And that's how the illness, that's the simon of the illness. If a person puts anything in his mouth, between the teeth, there's blood going to come out. For this tzefidne, this particular illness, which is called a tzefidne, which the poskim say nowadays is unknown, you are not mechal Shabbos for such an illness. There's a distinction between this tzefidne and a general unwellness, which has to do with the teeth. The tzefidne, even if the chole and the roif say it doesn't seem to be that serious, it doesn't seem to be endangering a person's life. Even if they say that, we say they were not exactly bekin in this particular illness, because there's a mesorah by Chazal that tzefidne is sakonas nefoshes, and therefore you are allowed to, in fact you should be mechal Shabbos for this particular tzefidne, even if the chole himself don't find it so particularly endangering, and nor does the roifer. Nevertheless, you are mechal Shabbos for this particular illness called tzefidne, which, as I said, is not known nowadays. However, if it's different type of toothache, if you have toothache, which is a very extreme toothache, is it considered a makshel chalal, as the Mechaber says? It's considered internal wound, although you can't actually see the teeth, but it's considered a makshel chalal, internal wound, and the bistam mechalin, that generally you are not to mechal Shabbos. However, if the roifer, the doctor, or the chole say that you don't need to mechal Shabbos, then you're not going to be mechal Shabbos. Now, I have to point out over here, by this seif over here, that obviously we have to know that the Haskomas Apoiskim is that it's very much to do with the contemporary medicine, the understanding of the contemporary medicine. If they feel that, you know, this is something which is could be endangering a person's life, definitely you're going to be mechal Shabbos. If the contemporary medicine says that this is not something which is particularly dangerous, then excluding your tzefidne, which we just mentioned now, excluding that, we're not going to be mechal Shabbos. Everything, the geder is always very much defined by what the medical world looks at something. That is why it's going to be called a sakona or alternative not. I just want to point it out very, very clearly. Now, especially when it comes to teeth, we will see, and we did see now, that teeth seem to have been, in the times of Chazal, much more, or even in times of the Rishonim, we find that teeth were more endangering and dangerous than what it is nowadays. And therefore, we find that some Heterim did apply then, which nowadays will not apply, because nowadays we're much more advanced, as it was in the dental. I mean, Mr. Candle for sure will agree to that. There's a lot less heterim when it comes to teeth problems. Right. V'davke, says Mr. Busef Cotton Test, V'davke koyareshe amakash b'chal al haguf. One more point about teeth. I don't know if it's happened to Ramosha, but apparently they say, Rav Ozna speaks about it, that if somebody loses a tooth on Shabbos, because I'm sort of I don't know if somebody has a fall or something. Apparently, they say that you could, within the first half an hour, please, I'm not sure that if that is, I don't know if that's true or not, but that's what the post can say, that within the first half an hour, you can actually put it back. Yeah, is that right?
It doesn't always work. That's generally put it back and then get the person's
hands. Right, right. So the shaila, of course, is, are you allowed to do that on Shabbos or not? So the truth is that some poskim are a little bit concerned about Malachas Boina. Malachas Boina, because you're rebuilding the shape of the mouth, so to speak. And some poskim are actually asking, Reb Shlomo Zalman is Matir. Reb Shlomo Zalman said that it's not actually a proper Malachas Boina, and therefore Reb Shlomo Zalman says that you're allowed to do that. Right. Yeah. Right, okay, Sefkotniut. Umitztaya, let's go. Umitztaya. If a person has a lot of pain, the Hainu, the Kovlev Tuva, if he has a lot of pain, Umitztaya Kolkachat Shecholoku Gufoy, he has that much pain that his whole body is suffering from it. Alideze, Afshen Lefel Mishkov, come on, save you, Zain. Vaimbevir Aloche. Vaaf, the Metchila Mavua, although we have previously discussed, the Cholesh Naim Mikri, Shal Chalal, we previously discussed that Choy Lishnaim, that he is generally considered internal. You're not allowed to pull out the truth through a yid. Very interesting. Mishnah Berurah says, that he quotes the Eli Rabbah, that pulling out the tooth is not a refu yudua. As we mentioned yesterday, you're only allowed to mechal Shabbos if it's a refu yudua, if it's a well-known and proved refu. The Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Eli Rabbah that to pull out the tooth is not considered refu yudua. Now, there's a lot to be said about that. Most importantly, the Bi'ur Halacha is not sure at all. The Bi'ur Halacha is not sure at all why it's considered melacha d'oraisa. Why is it bechal considered melacha d'oraisa? Pulling out the tooth could not be a melacha. Might not be a melacha d'oraisa. If it's not melacha d'oraisa, then anyway, you'd be allowed to do it. So that's point number one. We have to understand. And the poskim are actually not quite clear why it's considered melacha d'oraisa. That's point number one. Point number two. Because if it would be melacha d'rabbanan, it would be sent anyway, Muta. Then you wouldn't have to, then it's much more kolodik. We're asking, well, but don't forget, we're talking about a goy now, right? Let's look at the Ramo again. You're allowed to tell a goy to pull it out. And this halacha, the whole discussion of it is whether you're allowed to tell a goy or you're not allowed to tell a goy to pull out the tooth. Now, if it would be a melacha d'rabbanan, there wouldn't be much of a discussion over here. It would be anyway, Mutter. It would be a melacha d'rabbanan. You can see over here clearly that the discussion involves a melacha d'oraisa. You can see over here that they understand that pulling out the tooth is a melacha d'oraisa. And this is unclear why this is called a melacha d'oraisa. Okay. Right. The point which we'll all agree on is that nowadays pulling out the tooth is not considered a sakon at all. And that is why the poskim over here say that if that's the case, then the halacha is takazoi. That the halacha is, in fact, that if it's not a danger, then it's not considered. Then it's not considered a danger at all, and it's going to be muta. That is the point which has to be mentioned over here. Okay. He says, he continues, the Mishnah Berurah continues, sometimes even in danger. By pulling out the tooth, you're actually increasing the danger. That is also a very, very important point, which is quoted in many places. Again, the Ramah says that under certain circumstances, you're allowed to pull out a tooth. You're allowed to ask a goy to pull out a tooth if it's very painful for the person. Now, the question is, what about the person himself? Whilst they're opening the mouth, are you actually doing an issa or not? Whilst they are opening the mouth, I understand that telling the goat to pull it out is amir lenochi, and etc. But what about the person himself, the person who's opening the mouth? By opening the mouth and allowing the person to the goat to pull out the tooth, are you over on anything or not? Interesting point. All you're doing is you're opening the mouth. So this really is a very, very big discussion amongst the poskim. And the poskim discussed it over here. It's called mesaya. Mesaya really means helping a person doing a melacha. Because really what the person is doing is by opening the mouth, he's allowing the goy to, so to speak, pull out the tooth and do the melacha d'oraisa. Now there's a machloekes over here. If mesaya ein b'mamash or mesaya yesh b'mamash. If you're helping somebody to melacha, are you doing an avera or not? And the poskim over here say that actually mesaya ein b'mamash, you're allowed to be mesaya on Shabbos, and there's no issa involved. It's very nagia also, the Taz of here speaks about, it's very nagia to a lady who forgets to cut her nails, when it's Leil Tevilah, and the nails need to be cut for Leil Tevilah, and it's on Shabbos. And all she needs to do is to give her fingers that goita should cut her nails. Again, it's the same shal of Messiah in Bamamish or Messiah Yesh Bamamish. Is she allowed to do that or not? The poskim over here, besides the Taz Amekil, and this is Messiah in Bamamish. Very crucial point in Al-Chah Shabbos. Okay. Sifkot mit beis. Le'en Yehudi le'etzio, aval lo yelede Yisrael, de kule alma de utzah shenu melocha de reise, dochoy vel refua. As we said, to pull out the tooth, the Mishnah Berurah takes on that it's actually melocha de reise. Okay, this was Seif Gimel. Seif Dalet is a very, very important Seif. Tot de Shulchan Aruch, Seif Dalet. Mako Shel Chalal, an internal wood, Eina Tzricha Oymeit, doesn't need an estimation. How does it translate Oymeit? Rabbi Yossel, how does it translate Oymeit? Assessment, much better, yeah. Doesn't need an assessment. Sha'afilu im ein shom bekin, even if there's no people who know exactly bekin, in some of you professionals, v'chole eino ima klome, the chole doesn't say anything, whether it hurts him, it doesn't hurt him, it doesn't say anything. Oisim loy, you're allowed to do for him, any chol Shabbos, kol sheregin lasli b'chole, that is very, very crucial. For a person who is a pekuach nefesh, a person who is a chole sheish b'sakone, oisim loy, I can't overemphasize this, you're allowed to do for him, kol everything sheregin lasli b'chole, everything which you're allowed to do, which you would do on a weekday, everything which you do for him on a weekday, you're allowed to do for him. I want to speak about that in Mitzvah in a few minutes. Aval, however, sheyoidim umakirin ba'osecholi. However, if you know that this is an illness, you know this illness, and you're well known about this illness. Shemakirin ba'osecholi. Shemamtin shemamtin ve'entzorichil. You know that this can wait. It's not of urgency. Although really it's a dangerous illness, but it's not urgent. I'm going to give an example in Mitzvah in a few minutes. Also the chalav is also the chalalov. You're not allowed to mechal Shabbos, even though it's an eternal wound, even though it's a pikuach nefesh. If it can wait, you're going to wait until Motzei Shabbos. Yes, although the Mishnah, the Mishlochan Ochavei says, if it's a dangerous illness, it's a pikuach nefesh. If, however, your refuah can wait until Motzei Shabbos, it makes no difference. You should wait until Motzei Shabbos. You know, I'm going to give you an example now. Some infections which are potentially dangerous. However, and you need to take them over a course of 7, 10 days, whatever. And you need to take these antibiotics because if you have to take them twice a day, every 12 hours, you're allowed to take them on Shabbos as well. You're allowed to take it. However, if you have to take them every 24 hours, and you could take one just before Shabbos, and one just after Shabbos, then you wouldn't be allowed to take the antibiotics on Shabbos. Because you can wait until Motzei Shabbos. The actual treatment you want to take, the illness is we would consider Chol Yesh B'Sakone, but since it makes no difference whether you take it before or after Shabbos, you might as well wait until after Shabbos, and therefore you're not allowed to take it on Shabbos. Right? I think it's a clear halacha. Mishnah Berurah, Sif Katan Yud Gimel. Einot tzricha oymet. Perush imu mesukan la'asoy soloy. It doesn't need assessment. Imu mesukan la'shaytoy noy. If it's dangerous for this minute or not. Kol sheregilin. Everything which is the norm to give for chelish b'zakon, you're allowed to do. Memacholin v'refuas. Foods and refuas. Umashma, afal pi, it is mashma, even though, afal b'sha'im b'sakona, b'mniyas adovahu, even though, that's very important, I can't overemphasize that, although, there is no sakona, if I refrain from giving this particular food, kim cha'chol yesh b'sakona, because that chol is a chol yesh b'sakona, v'yesh ba'adovah tzorich k'tas, and there's a slight need for this particular food, v'regin l'asus l'v'chol, and there's a norm to do that on weekdays as well, oysin l'gam b'shabbos, Magid Mishnah. This is the very famous Magid Mishnah, and the truth is that the machloek, Reb Chaim Halpern told me once, that this Magid Mishnah is a machloek, this issue is a machloek, it's from the Rishoyin HaRishoyinim, from the earliest Rishoyinim, until the Achoyin HaRishoyinim, until the latest Achoyinim. It's a very big machloek. Are you allowed to give something? Let's get this very clear. Something a person who is a cholishesh b'sakona. Cholishesh b'sakona. Are you allowed to, obviously, everything which he needs to survive, obviously you have to give. And in fact, you have to give him. Now, what about the things which are not necessary for his survival? I'm going to give an example. You have a person who is a cholishesh b'sakona. Chas v'shalom, someone is terminally ill. And you're obviously going to try to do as much as possible to keep him alive. He wants now, dafke, he wants a hot coffee. On Shabbos, there's no goy to make it. Are you allowed to give that hot coffee to that person or not? Chil Shabbos Nireise. He does not going to help him. Unfortunately, he's not going to help him. Are you allowed to do that or not? Another example. You have a person who has got tremendous pain just after an operation. Tremendous pain. He wants a painkiller, which we know taking painkillers is really Xerov Shrik Samonim, is also as refuah. It's not going to help him. It's not actually helping the illness. Is he allowed to take that? Yes or no? Well, even Isad Rabbanon, it might be Cholish Yesh B'Sakona, but this is actually not going to help him. What about that? there's countless, what about the person who is in hospital? He feels a little bit hot, tiny bit hot, tiny bit cold. A little bit, not nothing significant, nothing which is going to endanger him. Or you have to turn the air conditioning on for him, or turn it off. All these cases, and there's countless of them, are cases of this Magid Mishnah. A person who's a Cholish Ish B'Lakona, but we're not discussing the actual survival. We're talking, as it was, luxuries, I don't know what the exact word is, and things which are not necessary for survival, I don't know to do that or not. So the MS is, the Mishnah Berurah says the following. Yeah, he said that you're allowed to do it on Shabbos. But let's see what the Bi'alocha says over here. What the Mishnah Berurah says b'shem Bi'alocha. V'ayim Bi'alocha, sh'v'ayin mikam ha'poyskim, d'svir lohu, sh'afilu b'mokam sh'tar chilu, en mechanu l'day Yisrael, ela b'dovo, sh'yeish lochush, sh'im lo yaseh lo yach b'dolov chulyoi, v'yuchal estaken. He says, he's not so sure. He said the Bi'alocha, he brings that sometimes you can only do it when actually it's going to make things more serious. Aval kol sh'bor sh'em n'yes oysu dovo chashash takana, but everything which is clear that it's not going to make the sakon any greater. So because the Bi'alocha, the Mishnah Berurah brings from Bi'alocha, from all the Rishonim, who are not so sure about that. Yehudi should rather try to ask a goy. Mishnah Berurah paskens, ideally, you should try to not to do any Isurei D'oraisa in such an instance. So now, I want to just add, there's a very big machlokes over here about this, a very, very big machlokes about it. But the truth is, the halach is not that the machlokes is not shalach lemaisa for the following reason, because the bialoch is, the Mishnah Berurah is considered the machmir in this issue. Even the bialoch at the very end says that we never really know, and the Reb Shlomo Zalman writes about it, and Rav Vozna also speak about it, that when a person in a situation of cholish ish bezakona, everything really counts. You can never really be 100% sure that this is not going to make any difference, right? Even the air conditioner that we mentioned, or even the, you know, even a painkiller, everything which we never really know. A person who is in that kind of situation, we're not going to take any chances. And that is what the Mishnah Berurah had to say. If you know really for sure, then you can ask, then you might want to be machmir. But in a normal case, we don't really know. If there's 1% or even a slight percentage chance that it might actually make, going to give him an additional chance of survival, you should definitely do it. A refuah yidua, yeah. Comfort level is a refuah yidua. Definitely, I think Moshe will agree to that, right? The more comfortable it is. So far, some... They speak about...
Painkillers, pain is actually is definitely detrimental in many cases.
Right.
Causes all sorts of other effects. Physical,
right.
Physiological.
Right.
The coffee is an interesting one.
Right.
Again, it's psychological.
Psychological, right? Yishuv Adas.
Getting stressed out. There'll be other people that say, I can't have a Shabbos anymore.
Right. Right. This. If he wants it, and if it's that kind of situation that you know there is a pikuach nefesh, and the kettle case is the case which I made up, but that was comes out from Shlomo Zalman, yeah.
Does he give any extreme examples himself?
He does. Has he?
In that example, we generally discourage because if we're taking them to hospital, which we are, we discourage for the NTM, so it's a difficult one on a practical basis.
Basically, anything they require that would calm them.
Absolutely, because the stress will cause a serious damage, the upset, the.
They speak about pills which calms a person down, and that they say definitely is going to be mutter, because again, this could be it's in itself a type of refuah, and again when it comes to somebody who's a cholish ish b'sakona, we're not going to take any chances.
Cigarettes calms a person down. Not food intake.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Yeah, let's just finish it. We're up to save cotton tesvov. Kshiyoidim, v'kol shekein she'aroife or achole oimrim she'en tzorich. Kavochem if the roife or the chole say they don't need it, she'en mechalin. Then obviously not going to be mechal Shabbos in this particular case that the Shulchan Aruch is talking about. U'makirin be'oisi chole she'mamtin rotzei loyma she'makirin be'veru she'lo yizgabel chole yoisa. This is talking about the case that if you know for sure that you don't actually have to do the Chil Shabbos on Shabbos, right? Let's say we spoke about if you can take the antibiotics also on Matzah Shabbos, if it makes no difference, if you know for sure that it makes no difference, if you just take it, you know, a couple of hours later, it makes no difference, then Rotzoloima, Shemakirin Beveiru Shleis Gaber Cholios, you know for sure that the Choli won't increase, won't get worse over these couple of hours. By waiting until Matzah Shabbos, it's definitely not going to get worse. If you're not sure, if you know what, not quite sure, Michal Shabbos. It's talking only in a case which I'm 100% sure that it makes no difference at all. There's an other shaila which the poskim speak about. What about if a person now there's no heter to Michal Shabbos? He's not that unwell yet. But you know, if you're going to wait a few hours, he's going to be in a situation in which you're allowed to be Michal Shabbos for him. Are you allowed to be Michal Shabbos now already or not? That's Reb Shlomo Zalman speaks in a few places about that. Interesting shaila. So, what do you think about that?
So sometimes you have simanim of an infection that's going to intensify and
for instance, yeah. Yeah, that's a nice example. Yeah. Are you allowed to be Chal Shabbos now, or do you have to wait really until it's actually that kind of So Reb Shlomo Zalman said it wouldn't make sense. It would make sense. If you're allowed to Michal Shabbos then you're allowed to Michal Shabbos now already. There's no need to make a person unwell to save him. There's no need at all. There's no need at all. Because if the Torah wants him, it's the V'chai Bohem that counts. It's the mitzvah of helping the Yid. And if you know for sure it's going to get to that kind of situation, surely you're allowed to Michal Shabbos now already for him.